Paul Jones joins us. Paul, welcome back to the show. How are you, my man?
I'm good. It's good to be on with you guys. I love being on with you guys.
Well, Paul, it's, first time for the Raptors in the conference final, but they are going up against a juggernaut in Cleveland, and makes it even more difficult without Jonas Valanciunas, strictly because I think if I look at the guard position, the backcourt, I would actually give Toronto the advantage, but in the front court, Cleveland's got a distinct advantage without Valanciunas. How do you think the Raptors can stay competitive in this series?
Well, I think it's got to be done with their defense, and they really have to get terrific play from Lowry and DeRozan. Let's face it, they're the two leaders. They're the ones that, kind of drive the bus and carry the mail for them. So they've got to, they've really got to get great play out of those guys. And Kyle Lowry in particular has been fabulous in games against Cleveland this year. So he's going to have to do that. You know, we always say in the biggest games, your best players need to be your best players. And we'll see. We'll see what it's like. We'll see what it's like tonight in Game One. You mentioned Cleveland being off. There's a great number that I saw that the Cavs, teams that are off 8 days or more in the playoffs since 2000 have a record of 5-6 in the following game. So the Raptors, if they're going to steal one, this might be the one they're looking at to try and get.
That is a good stat. And I get why that could be an issue, a little bit of rust, especially the Raptors. They got to be coming in flying high, Paul, because I think they're coming off their most dominating performance of the playoffs. They absolutely wiped the floor with the Miami Heat in a crucial game and didn't let up in that game really for any long extended period of time, which had been a little bit of their Achilles heel in some of the other games when they had leads, especially late in quarters. And DeRozan and Lowry, three consecutive games where those two basically averaged 30 points apiece. It's been a big turnaround for them because they're their all-stars and they're only going to go as far as them. The matchup, you talk about the defense, but what about attacking Cleveland offensively? How do the Raptors have to run their offense?
Well, they've got to get the ball into the lane, and they don't have Valanciunas to do that, so they're going to have to drive it. I mean, Lowry and DeRozan, especially, and the Raptors do a really good job against Cleveland when Kyle Lowry's driving the ball. So, it's on your all-stars. We always say this, Jason, in the biggest games, the guys who are your best players need to be your best players. And that puts, pressure, I guess, in a sense, on Lowry and DeRozan, but at the same time, they're your main men. They're the ones that have to do the damage. So, it's important that they get off early. And LeBron James's teams are 6-1 in the conference final, but they are 3-4 in the opening game of those conference finals. So, combined with the rest, which may turn into rust, if Lowry and DeRozan, who are pretty finely tuned, they've been playing every other day. If they can, get off to a good start and kind of plant or put the seed of doubt in the minds of the Cavaliers, again, this is the one to steal, and all of a sudden you've got a series because the home team has lost and home court advantage has been turned over.
Paul joins us. Game One between the Raptors and Cavaliers goes tonight on TSN 1260. Paul, how much credit should Raptors head coach Dwayne Casey get for his team getting out of the first two rounds, winning two big game sevens?
A lot of credit. This is the same team that basically has been trying to advance for years. Lowry and DeRozan have kind of had their issues trying to navigate the playoff waters. They've done a great job this year in really being the guys that, as I said, lead the way. So, Dwayne Casey gets a lot of that credit. He always calls it the program, and he treats it like a college program in terms of building it the right way. The term that they use is organic growth from within, guys going away, working on their games, knowing exactly what's expected of them when they come back in the next season. And they've continued to do that. So Dwayne Casey, I think, probably doesn't get as much credit as he should for orchestrating some of that and for, saying to Masai Ujiri, here's what I'd like on my grocery list, here's what I'd like in my shopping list as we continue to improve. You know, and Masai keeps getting it for him. I mean, Damari Carroll, you're going to see him tonight. He was the guy that guarded LeBron James in Atlanta last year. Now, Atlanta did get swept 4-0, but that series turned quickly when Damari Carroll got hurt. And I saw a number today that said when Damari Carroll guarded LeBron James this year for the Raptors in the Raptors series, the average distance that LeBron's shot was from the basket was about 15 feet. With anybody else guarding him, the average shot distance was just over 11 feet. You know, so it's a little thing, but LeBron James is a couple steps closer to the basket. He's making plays because Damari Carroll's not on him. So it'll be interesting to see how they, how they play, and how Damari Carroll, who has probably waited a long time to get another shot at LeBron James in terms of guarding him, and as he said quietly, he won't say that loud, but he knows that's why they brought him here, to guard the guys like Wade, like Joe Johnson, like Paul George in the first round. He's a tireless worker and a guy that doesn't look for the credit, but what he does is very important.
Paul, if LeBron James is option A for the Cavaliers, who's option B? Is it Kyrie Irving or is it Kevin Love?
Well, both of them. And don't forget J.R. Smith. I mean, J.R. Smith and Kevin Love are shooting a tremendous percentage off catch and shoot when LeBron James drives and pitches the ball out. Both of those guys are shooting a great percentage. And why? It's because they've got LeBron James. He was, you know, masterful, and he's a willing passer. And that's what people forget. I mean, the Raptors' best option at times might be, you know what, just let LeBron, not let, but try to make LeBron the scorer and let the other guys, be shut down. And that's what the Raptors did with Wade. That's what they did with Paul George. Once they kept the other guys from getting to the party, it became a lot better, a lot easier for them. But that's easier said, because the other guys, as you said, are pretty good. When you think about, you know, J.R. Smith and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, and almost 49% of the shots Cleveland made in the second round were three-pointers from behind the arc.
Paul Jones joins us. Raptors-Cavaliers game one goes from Cleveland. I asked you about Dwayne Casey, Paul. I need to ask you about Tyronn Lue. He was a midseason replacement for Cleveland. What do you think of the job that Tyronn Lue has done getting his team to the conference finals?
Well, he's done a good job because he's got the undying, what looks like support now, of his best player. And that's a key, guys. That's a key in terms of coaching. You have to be able to coach your best player. You know, Pat Riley did it for years with the likes of Alonzo Mourning and Shaquille O'Neal. Greg Popovich has done it with Tim Duncan and Ginobili and Parker. He's coached them, and they've allowed him to coach them. And Ty Lue is coaching LeBron James. I mean, the story goes that, you know, they glossed over something in the film room because take it for what it's worth, David Blatt didn't want to call LeBron James on it. And Ty Lue said, no, back the video up. Hey, LeBron, you have to be here instead of here. And you know, we all know it's that teacher that pushed you, even though you didn't like it, when you get out of high school, that you remember when you're in the work world. And you know, Dwayne Casey had, you know, I wouldn't say the same issue, but a lot of people were wondering about the relationship between he and Lowry. It's rock solid now because Dwayne Casey is coaching his best players. So Ty Lue's done a good job, and I think he's got the support of everybody on his team. And look, they're 8-0 so far in the playoffs, so that's hard to argue with.
Paul Jones joins us from Raptors Radio and NBA TV Canada. Raptors, Cavaliers, game one tonight. They play every second day. Valanciunas might be available for game two, probably not until game three. And, you know, the Raptors obviously would love to get a split in the first two games and give the hometown crowd. Either way, they're going to be electric for game three. But you look at the bench strength of the Raptors, and for a lot of time, I thought that was a key at certain times in both series in their first two wins. But the one guy off the bench who has been, you know, maybe the most Jekyll and Hyde for me has been Terrence Ross, especially, Paul, with his inability to control the ball. Like, he's given the ball away way too much. What do you make of Rose or Powell? Who would you play more in this series?
I think it depends on what you need. You know, Terrence Ross he has seen Norman Powell's emergence, no question about that, and he has played better. Yeah, he's had some careless turnovers, but guys, there's no doubting his athleticism, and he can flat out shoot the basketball. He spaces the floor. He gives driving lanes for Lowry and DeRozan because they have to stay attached to him. If you come off him and give help, he's going to knock a three down for you. So, you know, the turnovers aside, I think he's been pretty good at times in the playoffs, and I think you need him. If you want the defense, then you go to Powell. If you want a guy that's going to, you know, be able to help you stretch the floor, you go to Ross. If you need, you know, better defense, you go to Powell. So, look, all hands on deck. I think it's important. I mean, you know, Patrick Patterson, you might see James Johnson dusted off to guard LeBron James for a while. So don't rule anything out. It's the playoffs, and you can't second guess or save anything and say, you know, I should have. You're going to see everybody at some point in this series, guys.
Well, yeah, they're definitely going to have to. And the Raptors definitely go in as the underdog for sure. And I think, you know, if they can extend it to six games and then see what happens, that obviously has to be the goal. And as you mentioned, Paul, if they can find a way to maybe squeak one out tonight based on your statistics that you showed earlier, that might be the best chance for them. Not winning tonight would put them in a big deep hole.
Yeah, it would. And, I mean, in a hole, not in a sense that, I mean, they can't come back, but the team that wins game one wins a series 77% of the time. So, and the Raptors have had this pattern. They've lost game one and had to come back in each of the others. So you would hope that, you know, they could steal game one here. It might be their best chance to get a lead and take the home court advantage away to start the series.
Well, we appreciate it. We'll be tuning in tonight. Thanks for your time.
Okay, great. Thanks.